that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods bringing you again the fact that there's still power in the blood. And I certainly hope that you have found firsthand that power, that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's the best step that you can take. You know, today I want to tell you something. I want to talk about how Satan tries to work in our lives and how he tries to trip us up, because Satan knows that he's bound for hell and he wants to take as many people with him as he possibly can. I've entitled this, Satan is a Damned Liar. And I want you to know I'm not cursing there. I don't think the pastor started cussing and stuff. What I'm doing is I'm just telling you the fact, a theological fact, that Satan, when he rebelled against God, was cast out of heaven, and he was destined to go to hell for all eternity. And so he is damned for hell. That's an adjective. He's a damn liar, and he wants to make you fall too, but you don't want to do that. I want to read from John chapter 10, verse 10 in the New King James Version. The thief comes not, but the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 21, there's really kind of a sad story here that we need to stop and think about. It says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all of the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now, we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out with their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city, So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stray anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please, no, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy which you have shown me, saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. But he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city, for you have spoken. Satan, you know, promises anything you want, wealth, fame, pleasure, fun, but he cannot deliver. He cannot satisfy. Please listen to me. Satan is a cheat, a thief, a murderer, and as I said before, a damned liar. He's damned to go to eternity in hell. Now, I use the word damned again, let me remind you, not as a curse word, but as an adjective describing Satan's eternal condition. Satan is bound for hell, and he can no longer do anything about it. He made the choices that caused him to be damned to an eternity in hell. He knows where he will spend forever, and he wants you to go to hell too, but the good news is you can still do something about it. Because you still have time to escape eternal damnation, Satan hopes to offer you anything that you will take in exchange for your soul. One of the best examples of how Satan's lies destroy lives is the story of Abraham's nephew Lot, which we read. It's found in Genesis. Lot compromised his convictions in order to satisfy his material desires. Satan saw the signs that said, Lot for sale. People do that today. Too many Christians are trapped by Satan. Lot could have been a great man in God's kingdom, but through his poor choices, he lost everything. The Bible asks the hard questions, makes the powerful accountable, gives the straight story, and tells it like it is. The Bible recognizes failure as well as success. Lot fell on the failure side. He bought into Satan's lies and made stupid choices and paid dearly for it. You know, I hope that you pay attention here and learn what I'm trying to say that the Bible is teaching. Lot lost his faith. He must have known how important it was to walk with God. Remember, he'd been a constant companion with his uncle Abraham. Abraham obeyed God's will, and when God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham left. No question, God told him to go. Lot knew the importance of worshiping God because he'd been part of Abraham's family and had probably been involved in their worship. He knew what it was to witness God's presence. He had lived with Abraham. When Lot chose to go to Sodom, he replaced God as being first in his life, and he put himself there. He wanted whatever the world had to offer. He wanted to be rich and comfortable, but that he ended up losing his soul, losing everything because of his compromise. Matthew 16:26 says, and what do you profit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Listen, it is extremely important that you seek God's direction in every decision you make. See, Lot lost his finances. He lost everything. When his herds and Abraham's herds became too plentiful for the land, they had to separate. Lot had to make a choice. He chose what he thought would bring him the most wealth and prestige and satisfaction. He wasn't concerned about his family's spiritual well-being. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Most people say, well, I want it all, and I want it now, and it doesn't matter what it's going to cost to get it. Lot wanted prestige and popularity and fun, and he became a civic leader in Sodom. They knew him at the gates. Suddenly, judgment came upon Sodom, and Lot's popularity that he was seeking vanished when God destroyed the city. God rained judgment down on Sodom in the form of fire and brimstone, and he just completely destroyed the whole city. You know, Lot did not make good choices. The people he had compromised wanting to impress were wiped out. I mean, they were dead. He had wanted position. He had sat with the big shots at the city gates and made decisions about the city. You know, how often people compromise and tolerate sin and wrong so that they can gain popularity. Joe B. Brown wrote about hanging on to bits of Baal, a pagan god in the Old Testament. Brown wrote, "We must remove all false gods from our lives, those things we thought would bring the rain but couldn't because they were powerless." He lists five bits of Baal that hinder a Christian's access to the power of God. First was ambition to achieve fame, success, or glory. No matter what the cost to one's spiritual life, it involves replacing God with your own ego and your own self-will. Second, he said, unholy desires. Ask yourself, what is it I want that God doesn't want for me? The third bit of Baal was the memories of the past. Is there anything in your life you can't let go of? Does your mind carry you back to an event and hold you captive there day after day? If you spend too much time and energy there, it can become a Baal. Fourth, unhealthy relationships. There are people in our lives who draw us away from our power source, directing us toward a path leading away from God, not toward Him. Be careful not to let unhealthy relationships become Baal. And then five, business activities and recreational endeavors. It's been said, we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. If we spend more time and energy making a living and entertaining ourselves than building a relationship with God, we have created a Baal in our lives. Lot was hanging on to bits of Baal. He wanted all the comforts that life could afford. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Well, because Lot couldn't let go of things, he lost his possessions. I mean, all went up in smoke and fire. People are hoarding and storing wealth today at the expense of their spiritual walk. All of it could instantly be wiped out. I mean, you think you've got security in all your wealth and your bank accounts and all this. It will all be left behind when you step into eternity. Somebody said there are no pockets in a shroud or U-Hauls behind a hearse. You know, we rationalize that we want better things for our family. We want to give our kids things that we didn't have when we were growing up. But the most important thing you can give to your family is a Christian home with Christian parents and Christian virtues. Two men were talking. One of them said, "Well, how much did Rockefeller leave behind?" And the other one said, "All of it." Lot lost his fruitfulness. If he had only won 9 souls to the Lord, it might have been a whole different outcome. The reason I say this is because it says in Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 through 33, that Abraham was intercessory praying for Lot. And it says, and Abraham came near and said, and he's praying to God, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he said, again, I will not do it for the sake... Oh, I lost my place. I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, well, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not, if it indeed I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, well, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 be found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. You see, if Lot had been more interested in reaching people for God, if he had kept his priorities straight, Sodom would have heard a testimony, and Lot might have won enough people for God to spare the city from the horrible judgment and destruction that it had to suffer. Look at America. Christians are too anemic in our witness and our soul winning. We're too willing to compromise. We're not wanting to take a stand for Jesus Christ. We say we pray for our nation, but we're more interested in our comfort than in the needs of people around us. Sodom would have had a temple. They could have found a place to worship. But Lot was too involved with self and selfish needs to really be a man of God. You see, Lot not only lost his possessions, he lost his family. Lot had compromised his convictions so much that he was useless for God's purpose. You know, the angel said, warn your family of the coming destruction. But his family had no confidence in his warning. He had not lived a life that would make them think he knew anything about what God was going to do. His witness or his words were worthless. He tried to warn his sons-in-law, but they'd seen so much compromise in his life that they just laughed at him. Lot lost his feelings. It says, I can't believe he offered his daughters to a mob of perverts. Genesis 19, 4 through 8 again says, now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are those men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have 2 daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. Thank you, gutless Lot. Can you imagine a man doing that to his daughters? What was the matter with this man anyhow? Sodom was filthy, evil, sinful city. Vices of men with men, mark of their sin. I mean, they were doing a lot like what we're seeing today. Just, you know, homosexuality. God didn't tolerate homosexuality then, and no matter what society is saying today, he doesn't tolerate it today either. No matter how politically incorrect it is to condemn that kind of lifestyle, it's the truth. Even if Arizona endorses it, it's still grounds for judgment from God. Our state legislator will not overrule God's judgments. There is nothing natural about same-sex marriages, and someone described homosexual marriages as shaking our fist at God, and I agree. There are issues in politics where people disagree or the Bible doesn't speak specifically about, but marriage is not one of them. And I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm just telling you the truth that marriage should be between one man and one woman. Jesus said in Matthew 19, 4 through 6, and he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." This is about much more than marriage. It's about truth. By the way, let me say this. God loves the homosexual, not what they're doing, but their souls. And that's a sin like any other sin that can be forgiven by God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The presiding bishop of the Episcopal Missionary Church Council, Ned II, said, "There are things in Scripture that can be interpreted in one way or another. Marriage is not one of them. How can they turn away now? I do not understand. If you are a Christian, be a Christian. If you're not, don't pretend to be one." Daniel refused to bow to the false idol and was thrown into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. God was with them. God kept them safe. They came out with no smell of smoke on them and no burns or anything because God took care of them. Christians who refused to worship Caesar were tortured, crucified, or thrown to the lions. Today, Christians in the Mideast are being persecuted, dying because they won't deny Jesus Christ. Lot did not have the courage to take a stand for God. He had lost his feelings, his convictions to do what was right. How about you? Are you strong enough that you can take a stand for what's right and good and do God's will? You know, the wicked men of the city of Sodom lusted for immoral relationships with the strangers. These men were not really men. They were angels. And God struck the mob with blindness when they tried to get into them. Well, the losses that followed. As Lot fled for his life, he lost his wife. He lost all the material goods that were so important. He had his daughters, he and his daughters escaped with just the clothes on their backs. Evidently, he had a drinking problem, but he probably picked it up in Sodom, you know, when he was going to these wild parties. He must have carried his booze with him as they fled the city. Because it says there that when they got up to a cave in the mountains, that the daughters decided they did not have any man anymore, and they probably would not never have children. And so it says the daughters got Lot drunk, and then they laid with him and got pregnant by their father. Do you think this would have happened if Lot had lived a life with godly convictions? He chose darkness. The Bible says men love darkness because their deeds are evil. What a sad, sad story. Each of us could end up as he did if we buy into Satan's lies and follow sin like Satan wants us to. Satan is constantly right there to root us on to take that path. He's saying, have fun now. Get saved later. There's time. He's a damned liar, and he wants to damn you too. The losses that could have flourished, that Lot could have had. Lot missed many blessings because he listened to Satan's lies about what's important. He could have continued his close relationship with Abraham, who was a type of the father. Because he made bad choices, Lot ruined the close relationship that he had with Abraham. You know, sin always mars relationships, not only with people, but with God. People say sin, well, it doesn't hurt anyone. No, wrong. It, you know, we can say it doesn't hurt anyone else, but that is totally wrong. Sin hurts everyone. Lot could have had a relationship with Isaac. The Bible doesn't say he did. Isaac could have looked at him for direction, been kind of a son there. It seems like Lot never developed a close relationship with Isaac. Sin causes us to miss opportunities of enrichment. We miss blessings that God wants to give us because our hearts are not right with God. Lot was a backslider. Backsliders are probably the most miserable people because they know what's right. They want to have some kind of happiness, but they won't be happy if they're out of step with God. Be careful of the decisions you make. Don't listen to the promises Satan offers because he's a damn liar and he isn't interested in your well-being or you having God's best. He wants you and your family to go to hell. Remember, Satan, like I said, it's an adjective. He's a damn liar. Let him pay the price of sin. Let him be damned for eternity by himself. Not only can you destroy blessings here on earth, you have eternity to watch out for too. And let me say this, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is something that you need to do while you still have time, because if you step across the line into death and eternity and you don't know Jesus, you too will be damned to hell for all eternity, and we don't want that. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That doesn't mean, you know, that we just say a few little words and then go about our business. Say, well, my name's in the book. I can sin if I want. That means a soul change. I tell God I'm sorry for my sins. I'm going to quit living that kind of life, and I'm going to serve Jesus Christ with all my heart. Father, I pray that you help each one that's listening to this podcast to realize you love us. And people say, well, why would God send anybody to hell? God does not. God gives us every opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have a choice. And if we choose to reject God's plan, then we automatically send our own selves to damnation. God, help us not to do that, but help us to find Christ as our personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you want to get a hold of me, write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can call me at 623-845-2741. Or you can text me at that same number. And I would remind you that if you want to hear my sermons clear back to 2020, you can find me online in my website. It's lowercase, churchofthegalilean.com. That's churchofthegalilean.com. And it's all run together as one word. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. Get your heart right with the Lord. That's the only sure way to get to heaven.